Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined by Anthony Tennyson, CEO of Solvonis Therapeutics. Great to have you back on the show, Anthony. How's life?
Good morning, Phil. Good to have you on, or good to talk to you again. Yeah, life is good. Things are going well. It's the run up to Christmas, which is good with the family, but the business is going well as well, which we're really pleased about.
Superb, yeah. Big news from Solvonis Therapeutics this morning as well. Their AI-discovered addiction candidate, SVN-015, has been accepted into the US NIDA Addiction Treatment Discovery Program. That means the National Institute of Health will now fund and run the early preclinical safety work. And if the data stacks up, Solvonis could qualify for up to $3 million a year in non-dilutive funding to push the drug towards human trials. Crucially, this is targeting methamphetamine and cocaine addiction, areas with huge unmet need and no approved drug treatments. Anthony, when you look at the scale of the addiction problem and the fact that there are still no licensed medications for these stimulants, how significant is this step for Solvonis and for SVN-015's commercial pathway?
I think this is hugely significant for us, Phil, for three reasons. Reason one is it validates what we're doing in our drug discovery program, where we're seeking to develop fully novel compounds to treat high burden CNS disorders. So what does high burden CNS disorders mean? It means diseases with a large addressable market, so affecting many millions of people in the markets we're interested in, and high burden because there's currently a very poor or no current standard of care. So that's exactly what we're looking to do, targeting stimulant use disorder, methamphetamine and cocaine, where there are no, as you said, no licensed medicines. So this really validates what we're doing. Second reason that it's really important for us, it's, as you mentioned, it's non-dilutive financing, right? We are on now a pathway with one of the largest funders of healthcare research in the world, the NIH, and its subsidiary NIDA, the National Institute for Drug Addiction in the US, for one of their treatment tracks or one of their drug discovery tracks. They're fully funding and conducting an initial work package where SVN-015 will be tested for cardio or heart risk. If we pass through that stage gate, then we move into animal efficacy models, again, which they fully fund and which they conduct. We own all the IP, but they do the work and they fund the work fully non-dilutive. And then really helpfully for us, if we pass through those two work packages successfully, we would be in line to apply for the U3 G3 NIH grant, which provides up to $3 million a year for up to 5 years, aiming to take you from where you step off into the completion of a phase one human trial. So for a company of our size to be able to access that level of funding in a non-dilutive manner is really, really good. And then the third thing is, it's just, this is a stamp of approval and validation from, as I said, the biggest funder of healthcare research globally, NIH, and its subsidiary NIDA. So three reasons why this is important. It supports our strategy, validates what we're doing in novel drug discovery, and provides us with access to cutting edge leading non-dilutive financing.
Yeah, absolutely. The SVN-015 is now, I believe, the second AI design molecule from Solvonis to gain this external validation. Do you see this as early proof that your discovery engine can repeatedly generate clinically viable drug candidates?
We do, but that's from sitting here. You know, what we've done, the first program to come out of that drug discovery engine was what we're calling SVN-SDN-14, targeting at trauma-related mental health disorders, starting off with post-traumatic stress disorder. And we are in the final stages now of candidate selection for that series. And we would hope through the course, or we plan through the course of Q1 next year, to have a lead candidate identified and then seek to progress that candidate forward into IND enabling studies and ultimately in due course into human. So that was the first series, and in due course will be the first drug candidate coming out of our AI discovery program. And now SVN-015, that's our second candidate coming out of this drug discovery engine. And for this one, at this early stage, to be accepted by NIDA onto their discovery program. That certainly is, from my opinion, a great validation of what we're doing. And there are other things we are continuing to work on where we would hope our drug discovery program would provide an ongoing, repeatable addition to our pipeline depth across the three pillars we're looking at, which is addiction, psychiatry, and looking to explore opportunities in due course in urology.
So, Anthony, you've got quite the stable now of different products or potential drugs that are coming out. You got a £16 million market capitalization. It seems like a silly question, but if you happen to be listed on the US stock market, how much do you think you could potentially be worth?
Well, what I can say is, look, if people should look at our peers, Compass, 700 odd million, MindMed, near £1 billion, Atai, north of £1 billion, Cybin, moving up fast, GH Research, I think they're 750 million. And then a very close peer of ours, Gilgamesh, were purchased for $1.2 billion by AbbVie towards the end of Q3, early Q4. So certainly it's quite interesting, the valuations that are available in the US. I'm actually heading over there next week to participate in the Lucid Capital Markets. So it's a tier two US New York investment bank. And we will be participating on various panels with those companies, MindMed, Cybin, etc. And it's really, really good for us. Professor David Nutt's giving the keynote. I'm on one panel, and our chairman, Dennis Purcell, is on another panel. So we're certainly cognizant of the value disparity, let's say, the arbitrage opportunity that exists between us and companies listed on the Nasdaq or on the NYSE.
So, as part of that trip that you're going on, then you're heading down to Mar-a-Lago as well, or?
I am, yeah. I'm in New York Wednesday, Thursday, and then heading into Miami, or not Miami, Florida, on Friday, and then I have to put on the tuxedo.
You have to put on the red hat, mate.
Yeah. Put on the tuxedo, and I'm going to go to a dinner in Mar-a-Lago. I just received a notification. I believe the big guy will be in the building, but I don't imagine he'll be sitting at my table.
Very good. So, Professor David Nutt, the scenario here is how big a library, I'm not sure what the technical word is you call it, but how big a library and how many potential drugs could we be seeing even coming out of this over the next period of time?
I think we've got some work going on at the moment to explore other candidates that we have identified in our drug discovery library. We will have announcements in Q1 on those. We need to complete some initial studies against some other indications before we'll have the data that will enable us to provide further information. But we are pleased with the depth of our library. And we continue to work and explore in other indications to hopefully have other candidates coming out through the course of Q1 and potentially Q2 next year.
Yeah, I mean, I look at this announcement today and it looks like a fantastic announcement. I mean, basically, a inverted commas normal company would be having to shell out certainly 300,000, 400,000, 500,000 pounds initially to do the heart testing, and then subsequently another $3 million for the animal testing.
Correct.
Whereas there's a good chance you're not going to have to do that, and
Well,
even.
we don't have to we don't have to we don't have we don't incur any costs for the initial cardio screening, and if that passes, then we won't incur any costs for the efficacy tests in animal models. And so that's really pleasing. That's somewhere between $3.5 and $5 million worth of research that we will own all the IP for, but we won't incur any of the costs around.
So at that point, if you manage to get to that point for the animal testing, is it then a selection process, or is it a pretty fait accompli that you will get funding to continue the process?
It's a competitive process to apply for the next stage of financing, the U3G3 grants, which are up to $3 million a year. But we would be at that stage. NIDA and NIH would be familiar with us, with the company, and they would obviously have a deep understanding of the data, but also the robustness and the quality of the data, given the fact that they would have conducted the research themselves. So whilst it is a competitive grant, we believe if we were successful at stage gate one and stage gate two, we would be reasonably well set up to compete for those grants. But as I said, it is a competitive grant.
So there are other people, not just people who've gone through this process, competing at that stage as well?
Correct, there are.
Okay, very good, very good. Well, I mean, regardless of that, it puts another potential drug into the system that you have. You know, what are you most excited about going forward in terms of what's on the table with Sylvanus?
What I'm most excited about at the moment is the potential for us or a potential future partner to redesign and change how severe alcohol use disorder is treated in the UK and potentially the EU with our 001 asset. Second most exciting thing for me is the potential that our 002 asset could have in a much larger, much more valuable US market, where we're seeking to repurpose J&J's Spravato for the treatment of moderate to severe alcohol use disorder. Where we are with that right now is we met a meeting, pre-IND meeting with the FDA in Q4 2024. The agency agreed that once we establish the scientific bridge, hello dog or cat.
Well, we have a Siamese cat here now, which we will... This is Jonathan's
like something out of a Bond. You look like something out of a
Bond. Bond villain.
That's right. What is it?
$1 billion.
$1 billion.
Yeah. So where we are with that is the agency said we could 505(b)(2) into J&J's package if we establish the scientific bridge. So we're working now in a capital efficient manner with WuXi in China to establish that scientific bridge. And we'd hope to have, it's been done across two work packages. Work package one, we'd hope to have completion in Q1. And depending upon the answer on that, we may be required to do a second work package. If not, we'd look to apply, submit an IND and apply for approval for a phase 2B trial in the US for moderate to severe alcohol use disorder. So we'll know more about that through the course of Q1. But what's really important here is if we are successful in this, we won't have to incur the multi-million dollars that J&J would have spent on their preclinical program, the many, many millions of dollars they would have spent on their phase one program, and we don't have to incur any costs for a phase 2A. So the agency is supportive of once the bridge is established, there's no further human data required before going into phase 2B. That's huge. And for a market that's 3 to 4 times larger than J&J's market for major depressive disorder and treatment-resistant depression. That's a big, big opportunity for a company of our size. And then I'm really excited about the news flow that will be produced by our drug discovery program across the 1-4 program for PTSD, the 1-5 program for methamphetamine and cocaine use disorder, and then the other stuff that we're working on as well. So there's three things that I'm really excited about, and the news flow and the news that's going to come out over the next while. Whilst we also then focus on the capital market strategy, which is really about looking towards the US at the appropriate time.
Very good. All sounds very exciting. And as you said, those figures from the US in terms of those other companies that are valued at, 40, 50 times your current market capitalization. Do those companies have as many opportunities in the market as you guys currently do?
I'd say a Thai has more. The Thai's a big machine, but you know they've got very deep pockets. Actually, Dennis is on the same panel as the major shareholder in a Thai, Christian Angermeyer, next week. But I'd say we're right up there with the others, with the GHs, with the MindMeds, with the Compasses, and with the Cybans. We're right up there. But I would say a Thai are far ahead of everyone else.
Yeah, and with your AI system and. You know, Professor Nutt, I think you could soon be producing these things pretty regularly. Yeah, which would be phenomenal.
That's the plan, and you know, we continue to seek grant funding opportunities for the other preclinical assets that we're working on, and as we produce data for those, and as we are able to confirm that we have a right to apply for grant funding to progress certain assets for certain indications, we'll certainly keep investors and your audience updated.
So my last question is, how did you come across the fact that you could get a grant for this number 15?
That would be Professor David Nutt. He is one of the most experienced researchers in the area of psychiatry and addiction. And he is well known within NIH, NIDA, and also very importantly for us, another space that we're probably looking at, which is NIAAA, the National Institute for Alcoholism and Alcohol Addiction. So Dave would be well respected, well known and well respected in those fields.
So what you're saying is because of that, anything that's going to be coming out of that because of Professor Nutt, you've got a good chance of getting grant funding.
What I would say is the chance, the probability of securing grant funding is dependent upon the quality of the asset, but the ability to talk to the right people to get a decision efficiently and effectively is through the relationships that David has.
Yeah. But the reality is, I presume David's not going to be producing rubbish in terms of trying to get things through. So
yeah, he's not going to make a phone call to someone and say, hey, this, if it's not good. But the good thing with Dave is we'll know that the asset is good and then the phone will be picked up.
Yeah. Okay, great.
I think we've done it there. We'll say Anthony Tennyson, CEO of Sovonis Therapeutics. Thanks very much for appearing back on the podcast.
Thanks, guys. Pleasure talking to you again this morning.
Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.